Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles first to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Right at the end of Luke's Gospel, Luke 24, 45 through 49, and then we'll be turning to Acts chapter 1. This is God's Word. "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high.'" Now turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, the first 8 verses. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Have you ever wanted to just get on with it? Have you ever felt that you have a good sense of what you're supposed to do and where you're supposed to go and how it's supposed to happen, and that you've been given strength and energy, and before you get too old, you'd like to get it done? Have you ever wanted to just get on with it? Let me tell you something. God knows what he's doing. Moses was on the backside of nowhere looking after a flock of sheep that he didn't even own. Looked like a waste of education. Looked like somebody whose career path had really gotten off track. But you know what? God had a plan for Moses. God had a plan that was so great, Moses couldn't have imagined it. But it wasn't time yet to do what he was supposed to do. And all that preparation was not in vain. And folks, it wouldn't be Moses' last experience with waiting. And furthermore, it won't be your last experience, whatever you're in the midst of right now, whatever you've come through. You will find yourself, if you walk in obedience to God, repeatedly having to wait on his timing and do things his way if you want to be obedient. The disciples had been told what they were to do. They were going, supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples out of all the nations. They were supposed to be baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And yet they were told, don't go anywhere yet. Don't start now. Wait in Jerusalem until you receive what has been promised. I want to suggest several things about this little interlude in the lives of the disciples as they awaited Pentecost. The first was, it was a matter of obedience. The reason that they stayed in Jerusalem was obedience to God. It wasn't because they were tired. It wasn't because they were nervous. It wasn't because they were afraid to obey. It was because they were obedient. They were where they were out of obedience. That's important. Because some of us have a hard time waiting, and others of us really like the waiting part. It's fine. I'm comfortable. Thank you very much. I'll stay right here. Okay, somebody get me another cushion. Our idea is not so much to take up our cross and follow him. It is to watch. We're happy to be spectators. We love for people to do ministry. We think it's wonderful. We say, that's great. And you all let me know if you have any particular prayer requests. Because we would just as soon wait. So you've got both extremes. But let me tell you, it isn't as if one extreme is godly and the other extreme is ungodly. The issue is, are you where you are because of obedience? Because lagging behind is no better than running ahead. The important thing is to obey. These men were told, stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. One of my favorite incidents in Moses' life, and there are a lot of them, I love the life of Moses. One of my favorite stories in Moses' life is when he goes up Mount Sinai at God's command. In Exodus chapter 19, the Lord tells him, now before you come up the mountain, warn the people they must not come even up the foot of the mountain. Okay? They're not to get close. I'm going to meet with you there, but warn all of them to stay back upon penalty of death. So Moses warns them, and the people are like, hey, you know, we got it. We will stay down here. We do not want to get killed. Thank you very much for the warning. We will not start up the mountain. Moses climbs the mountain per God's direction. When he gets to the top, God says, all right, I'm going to meet with you, but now you need to go back down and warn those people not to come up here. And Moses responds, you can check this out in Exodus 19. Moses says, we already told him that. And God says, well, go down and tell them again. So Moses goes back down and tells the people. Now, he'd already done that. He'd already told them. What's the deal? I mean, did God forget? Of course not. You know, the only thing that would bug me more than having to climb up the top of some mountain is having to go back down and do it again before we could have what we came there for. Can anybody else relate to that? Could we please just go ahead and meet? God says, no, you go back and you tell them again. So Moses goes back down the mountain. And he tells the people, listen, you remember what I said before? God really means it. Don't come up this mountain. I love that kind of stuff. Because I can relate. There are times when God tells us to do stuff and we're like, Are you really, am I hearing you right? Is that really what you're asking me to do? You want me to do what? God, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why should I do that? And the answer is, because I said so. Now, we tell parents that's a terrible way to train your children. Actually, sometimes it's the right way to train your children. We teach the kids here at the ranch that they are welcome to ask why after they obey. Because if they ask why and you have to explain your decision and justify your decision before they have to obey, it kind of makes them your peer. See, they're going to decide whether mom and dad have got this one right or if mom and dad are being unreasonable, and maybe they could propose something that would make a little more sense. And so in order to try and teach the children that they're to obey those who are in authority, we teach the children, if they tell you to do something and it doesn't make sense to you, go ahead and do it. And then you may ask, why did you ask me to do that? Folks, let me tell you, there's a whole lot of stuff we're not going to understand until we get to heaven. And if you think God's got to somehow explain it all to you before you're obligated to obey, you have completely misunderstood. Now, parents are not God. And parents sometimes make mistakes. God is God, and He doesn't ever make a mistake.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is
and is holding out his. Another favorite passage of mine that deals with this subject is in Mark chapter 6, when Jesus commanded, required, made his disciples get in the boat. Mark 6:45, Jesus is going to stay behind while the disciples are sent to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Several of these guys were commercial fishermen before they began following Jesus, and they knew how to handle a boat, and they knew that there are some times that it's best not to head out because the weather is not looking good. And this was one of those times. A storm was coming, and they were going to get trapped in the storm on the lake all night long. Jesus says, go to the other side. They would spend the night trying to do what he said and unable to pull it off. You and I are sometimes asked to do things or told to do things, and although we're really trying, I mean, we are really, really trying, we're just not able to get it done. The fact of the matter is, Jesus was not being cruel to them. He was about to reveal himself in an unforgettable way. While they were out there struggling, during the last watch of the night, Jesus would walk out there to meet them, walking on the water. You think they'd ever forget that? Not hardly. But in order for them to be in a position to experience that miracle, they had to obey, even when it didn't make sense to them. And that's why it says he made them get into the boat and told them to go to the other side. They're like, Jesus, there's a... And he said, get in the boat. This is not some violation of the pattern. This is typical of how God works with his people. He is training us to be obedient no matter the cost, no matter how silly it looks to us, no matter how we try and explain to God that, God, there's this piece of information over here that I really think you need to be aware of. You know what? God already knows everything. So the purpose of prayer is not to inform him of what he needs to know. The purpose of prayer is to get us in line with God so that we are surrendered to his purposes and determined to do what he says. Folks, this matter of obediently waiting was actually Jesus' pattern as well. He did not begin his public ministry until he was around 30 years of age. Now, when he was 12 years old at the temple, he was already able to baffle the scholars of his day. So it wasn't that, you know, well, Jesus, he was God incarnate, that's true, but he still had a lot of growing up to do. Well, he did grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. But, you know, I'm thinking, certainly by the time Jesus was 25, we could have gotten the show on the road. Okay? I mean, don't you think? I mean, given the fact that he's God incarnate, I think that counts for a lot. So, you know, at age 25, let's go. I mean, wouldn't you think, what a waste. Why wait till he's 30? Why? I mean, there were sick people when he was 25. There were demoniacs when he was 25. There were people who were praying for Messiah's arrival when he was 25. And he was already on the scene, but he wasn't revealing who he was. He wasn't doing his public ministry. I just don't understand that. I mean, if you're God and you send your son to the planet, wouldn't you want to make the most of his time there? What was he doing at age 28? What was he doing at age 29? Why? Let me tell you what he was doing at age 28. I know this. He was being obedient to the Father. And it wasn't time for him to be revealed. Jesus was perfectly obedient to the Father's will. He said he only did what the Father told him to do. He said what the Father told him to say. And that's why his public ministry didn't start until he was about 30 years old. So when you're sitting around saying, God, what are you going to do with all my potential? Get some perspective, would you? You are not God incarnate like Jesus was. Okay? We, by the way, are God incarnate. That's a whole nother subject. But the body of Christ is where God manifests himself this day by his Spirit. But if you think that somehow you got to run ahead because God just must have overlooked you when he was telling everybody to suit up and run out on the field. And, you know, I'm just thinking, Lord, with all my gifts and abilities, I really need to get in the action because I could score a touchdown for you, Jesus. You just wait. You just do what he says. So, it was a matter of obedience. Waiting in Jerusalem, second point, it was because without him, we can do nothing. Now, some of us paraphrase that and think, without him, we can't do as well. Without him, it's limited what we can do. That's not what the Word says. The Bible says, without him, we can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So the contrast is not between a little versus a lot. The contrast is between nothing versus all things. And what makes the difference? He does. The disciples needed to understand that the Holy Spirit was not just going to be poured out at Pentecost so that they could do more. The Holy Spirit was going to be poured out at Pentecost because without him, we can do nothing. Can you say that with me? Without him, we can do nothing. So, the Bible says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That was God's plan from the start. God didn't look at the situation and say, you know, these apostles, they do have real abilities, but I think they need a little something more. No, God's plan from the start was that their only ability to do what God intended would be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, from the beginning, this was his plan for the church. So Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem until you receive what the Father has promised. I've already told you about this. John baptized with water, but in a few days you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, what is the Holy Spirit? You mean who? Who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. To be immersed in God is what these guys were about to experience. Fantastic. Utterly amazing. That was the plan from the beginning. The Holy Spirit outpoured, and they are immersed in him. Point three, how'd they spend their time while they were waiting? I'm glad you asked. It's in the verses following those that we read. Verse 12, they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open. All his intestines spilled out. And everyone in Jerusalem heard about this. So they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it. And may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who've been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Now do you have an idea what they did? I mean, it's in there, but please notice. They spent time together. Gathering together is not a waste of time. It's what we're supposed to do. They spent time together and were constantly in prayer. They were constantly in prayer. How important is it to gather and pray? Well, for these folks, they were joined in prayer. Now, do you have to gather in order to pray? Clearly not. But is it a good biblical thing to do? Absolutely. That's what they were doing. They were together, they were joined in prayer, and they were studying and seeking to obey God's word. Peter says, you know, the scripture says, and shares the passages from the Old Testament, and then he says, so we need to do that. Did you ever find something in the Bible that all of a sudden you realize we're not doing that? I've had that happen to me. It's really embarrassing. But when you find that God is saying something that you're supposed to do, don't just say that's interesting. Say yes, Lord, and obey. Obey his word. That's what they were doing. That's how they spent their time. Final point. It was worth the wait. The Lord told them to wait, and as is the case with obedience to God's word, it's always worth it. What happened was that the Holy Spirit fell on them in power on the day of Pentecost and absolutely transformed their lives and their ministry. If you think you can do it pretty well without God, you are not at all in touch with reality. If you think you can do it better with God's help, you're still pretty far off the mark. If you realize you can do nothing without him, but you can do all things through him, then whatever he says to do, you just do. And God will do his work through you. If you look at what happened, a group of guys who had been terrified and hiding for fear of the Jews become courageous and willing to lay their lives down. Why? Because God himself was living his life through them. And you and I are called by God to obedience. And with that obedience comes his power. With that obedience, God himself will do what he wants through you for his glory.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.